Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC News, that the federal subsidy for ethanol was losing support on both sides of the aisle going into an election year is a sure sign that budget cutting is changing political calculations. Corn-producing Iowa, so important as the first state to pick party presidential candidates, benefits big from that subsidy, but my next guest would not be sorry to see that and almost every other agricultural subsidy go. And besides saving money, he says ending the subsidies would make us healthier. Thomas Costigan is the author of several environmental handbooks, and his new book is The Big Handout, How Government Subsidies and Corporate Welfare Corrupt the World We Live In and Wreak Havoc on Our Food Bills. Welcome to WNYC, Thomas Costigan.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
I guess we can tell from the title of your book that you're no fan of government subsidies. How much money are we talking about?
Well, $300 billion food program, farm bill, and, you know, right now it's spending $5 to $6 billion a year minimum just in direct cash payments that no one agrees are doing any good at all. So, yes, I am the subsidy axe man. Cut 'em.
That figure is over 5 years that you just cited, right?
The $300 billion, yeah.
Yeah. And what form do the subsidies take? Is it just cash handouts to big agribusiness companies?
Oh, no, no, no. That would be too simple. The whole idea is to create this, you know, fake America program where we have so many confusing subsidies in the form of countercyclical payments, insurance payments, conservation payments that actually pay people not to farm in many ways, that the whole system has been corrupted over decades. And it's really kind of a fascinating look once you get your camel's nose inside the tent, if you can, to take a look at actually how the system works, from, you know, our checking accounts to the government coffers to lobbyists to big corporate farmers. We're not talking family farmers here, straight back to the political gain. So we're drawing a P, not a full circle.
And you go chapter by chapter through the subsidies for meat, poultry, pork, dairy, sugar and beverages, breads and cereals, rice, cotton, fruits and vegetables, fish, oil and gas, and steel, which are not agriculture, but similarly grouped, you know, for legal purposes. And you say how they make us poor, fat, hated, and are bad for the environment. So let's go through these a little bit. How do subsidies make us poor?
Well, straight out of our, you know, food bills, we're spending about $1,500 per household on subsidies. So right there, comes right out of your checking account, less money. And also because we're creating this environment of subsidized, you know, put the X next to that, any of the things you just named, are actually sacrificing jobs and, you know, to the tune of about $10 billion a year just on, you know, several of those programs alone, because a lot of that work goes overseas.
How would you say these subsidies make us fat?
Well, if you look at the actual subsidies themselves, we're mostly, as I intimated before, they're going to factory or corporate farms, which churn out food a la Food Inc. that are not in the best interest of our health. So the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine actually came up with this genius type of pyramid that shows healthy subsidized foods, which are, you know, that little thing at the top, that very small little arrow, and then the rest of the subsidies that flow down to the food that really isn't good for you. So it's always good to remember that, you know, the biggest consumers of meat in the country aren't, you know, people with, you know, particular diets. It's actually fast food companies churning out stuff at a very low cost.
Well, to that point, there are some locavores and even some states, including New York, that grow fruits and vegetables that want subsidies to be shifted, to those foods, to the healthier foods,
yep,
from crops like soy and corn. But I gather you're not for those kinds of subsidies either.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the government system and the way it's been done before, certainly there is room for subsidized disaster insurance, for example, or for ways that we can actually compete or to encourage healthier diets. But until we get back to the basics and start, you know, tabula rasa with just a blank slate and start to redo the system in a way that has transparency, makes sense, and is fair, then I don't think we should really start to add another layer onto this that will just be even more confusing, as we're seeing now play out before us with the super committee and the farm bill. And we can get into that if you want later.
And we will, since everybody's watching the super committee to see if they can come up with this $1 trillion plus of deficit reduction by Thanksgiving, as they're supposed to. And probably not many people are thinking about farm subsidies as being part of that equation. But my guest is Thomas Costigan, author of several environmental handbooks and now the new book, The Big Handout, How Government Subsidies and Corporate Welfare Corrupt the World We Live In and Wreak Havoc on Our Food Bills. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we have a farmer from New Jersey calling in. Mike in Totowa, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Well, I wanted to be a prospective farmer, but I could not because I started to get into organic farming, and then I realized that much of the subsidy is skewed towards big agribusinesses like Harrisburg, I mean like ADM, Archerdine and Midland Company. For example, when they put a pound of beef on a supermarket shelf, that costs 6,000 gallons of water. It consumes 6,000 gallons of water just for one lousy pound of beef. Now, that's completely destructive to the environment, but the big, agribusiness, they're subsidized.
Right. Well, that's part of the point of your book, isn't
exactly
it, Tom?
Exactly the point of the book is that the subsidies are flowing into the hands of the people that actually have, are some of the biggest corporations and really, don't need it. And what they do is they get, there's two different costs, and sometimes we get tripped up on this. There's the actual cost to produce food, the seeds, the equipment, the actual land, et cetera. And there's the cost on the shelf. And those two things aren't the same. Subsidies go to the costs to the bigger farmers, and the cost to us, if you look at food prices, they're eclipsing 2008 prices, which is the largest price swing in history. So we have a real, real dilemma here and a dichotomy between farmers trying to do the right things, provide good foods, and then factory farmers getting subsidized to produce, crap foods for all of us. And, that does not lead to, better health, as we suggested before, or as the gentleman just suggested on the line, does not lead to a healthier environment or better for the planet.
What is the relationship between farm subsidies and the super committee?
Here's where it gets really interesting. Heretofore, we've had farm bills that go before hearings. You have lobbyists chime in. You have consumer groups chime in. There's hearings in the Hill on great groups like Environmental Working Group. Go to EWG.org. Really a lot of information on this stuff. They get involved, and there's a great debate. Now, there's been a big sneak. Taking the farm bill, throwing it into the super committee for deficit reduction purposes, so all of these negotiations have gone on in secret, behind closed doors. So there's been no opportunity for anyone to know exactly what the specifics of the farm bill are. We know that there's cuts on the table of between $23 and $33 billion, but now there's a lot of talk on the Hill that those are being funneled into new insurance programs for farmers that would actually be just redirecting the subsidies in a different way, further masking exactly what we're paying and exactly what we're getting. So here is the problem. We're not having an open debate. We're not having open committee hearings. This is being done in secret under the guise of the super committee.
Jim in Bricktown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good show. I was wondering if the guest had any leads to where gas is vended without ethanol. I've been told that it's really not by brand, though. It depends on the distributor. If we couldn't get some sort of a boycott going of the, if there are specific brands that emphasized it or ones we could favor that didn't have it.
Do you know, Tom?
I don't want to get into different brands. I don't think that's fair to pick that out because then there's going to be all sorts of different arguments. But there's an ethanol subsidy that goes across the board, and it goes by mixture. And that's a big number on the board. That's about $36, $37 billion. And that is something that even the big energy companies say they don't really need because it causes so many problems. And they are the distributors. That's the other thing. This is not just for these, corn or sugar producers or even wheat now that take advantage of the ethanol subsidy. It actually flows up to the distributors as well. And those people that actually make those mixtures are the most profitable companies in the world. And those are, you know, the big energy companies that we all know.
Are you pro food stamps? Those are also handled through the Farm Bill, right? And
yeah.
It's another form of government subsidy pertaining to food.
It is. And, you know, that is a complicated issue, of course, because that is a social welfare program. And that is not money into the pockets of, you know, major corporations and wealthy individuals who own farms and don't need the money. These are people that are starving. And we have 50 million people in the United 50 million households in the United States right now that are at a poverty rate. 50% of them, according to a recent study, have to choose this winter between paying for the utilities or paying for food. So to actually take food out of the mouths of hungry people and then redirect it into the most profitable companies in the planet or corporate farmers, to me, is not a fair or just system. So that's what I'm saying. We have to go back and take a look at where the money's going and what it's doing. And combining those two programs is really, to me, not a great system to actually start off with. So to take another look at that with open eyes is, I think, a more fair and just system, because that's part of the big fake. You put in a system like that, you cut part of the program, and you say, well, now you're actually cutting the food stamp program. I don't know how anyone came up with the system of saying, well, we're going to support farmers, and then we're actually going to support the people that eat it in the same program.
Thomas Costigan, author of The Big Handout, How Government Subsidizes and Corporate Welfare Corrupts the World We Live In and Wreaks Havoc on Our Food Bills. And Amy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hello, Brian. I am concerned that an environmentalist would first go after the subsidies in agriculture. In the first place, there is not a single nation in the world that doesn't subsidize its own agriculture, so that our farmers couldn't possibly compete, even though we are the most efficient farmers, with other countries without some subsidy. Now, I'm not defending the details of the subsidy, but to go wholesale on the agriculture subsidy for that reason alone, but I think our nation, without a substantial amount of land and farms, we become Asia or Europe with no natural land between us, and I would be very sad to see that.
Tom, she makes a point about other countries subsidizing their farms and their agribusinesses, and so maybe we need to stay competitive.
Well, when you look, I think that's part of the problem here is that we're, you know, emphasizing a monocultural type of environment with factory farms. So we're destroying the soil at a bigger rate than any time in history when you start to look at the actual encouragement of farm subsidies.
Mr. Costigan, not compared to almost any country in the world destroying their soil. I mean, where have you visited that takes better care except tiny little countries?
Have you been to Brazil and checked out what they're doing with their livestock down there?
Well, I haven't been to Brazil recently,
but the last time I was there,
it was eroding at an enormous rate. They didn't have any erosion protection.
And are they corn-fed or are they grass-fed meat?
I'm not disputing you that changing the internal support for farm, but to suggest that our checkbooks are misspent by agricultural subsidies in general. That's what concerns me, because I want to keep as much land in farming as possible as our population increases and the spread of suburbia can go on. I mean, it won't go on in the next 3 years, but it will go on in general and use up all our land, and we will no longer be the United States, but we'll look like Europe, we'll look like polluted Asia. And for an environmentalist not to understand the value of keeping land in agriculture as opposed to cities over the city people's checkbook. And I'm from Brooklyn. I mean, I'm not. I don't live on the land, but I think that you cannot state that spending money on farm subsidies would benefit
conservation
this country.
I think you're confusing conservation of land, in which we have a great deal of conservation right now that is supported by different programs, with the actual farm payments and subsidies that go to the destruction of the planet, which actually go to encouraging mass effluent going into our water supplies. And I encourage you to read the book and on that chapter, because, of course, that's what I'm looking for, is a better planet, better health, and a better environment for us all.
Corporate farmland.
If you could look at the ecosystem in general, I think that would be a better thing for us all.
Amy, thank you very much for your call, though, and we're just about out of time. Even most subsidy critics say you can't just eliminate them and start from scratch, period. So are you advocating something for the immediate term? And we have about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I would advocate just getting rid of direct commodity payments right up front. And those are for wheat, soy, corn, cotton, rice. Those direct cash payments to farmers, a lot of them don't even want, and those are the most immediate things we can lop off, and that's about $5 or $6 billion a year straight up. So that's what I would encourage right now in the short term.
All right, and one of the things to keep our eyes on in the Super Committee secret negotiations as well, Thomas Costigan, author of The Big Handout, How Government Subsidies and Corporate Welfare Corrupt the World We Live In and Wreak Havoc on Our Food Bills. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, this should be fascinating, a faith-to-faith dialogue between a Muslim South African and a Quaker American, both working from very different social classes, not to mention different faiths in different countries, for social change. They'll talk to each other in our studio. Stay with us.